Welcome back, folks, to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. My goodness, what, just really 6 days to the election, less than a week. And in a few hours, it's going to be 5 days. And, well, you know how to count, right? So much news to report, folks. You got 90 seconds. Do me a favor. Go to CanadaFreePress.com. Yes. Now, it's also on HagmannReport.com, but do me a favor. Go to CanadaFreePress.com and check out the video there. I happen to find a 90-second video of Hillary Clinton actually lecturing the State Department employees on what? Cybersecurity. If you don't think that's, I mean, is that ironic or what? But what I'd like you to do is share that, comment on that as well. It's on my personal Facebook. It's on our Facebook, Hagmann Report. But I'd like you to share that because that to me is telling. 2010, she sports this, this lecture. 90-second lecture, instructional video on cybersecurity and the handling of classified sensitive documents. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, 6 years later, does she, I mean, is this just merely a, an oversight? I made some errors in judgment. I don't think so, folks. All right, our special guest coming up right now to walk us through this minefield of spiritual morass bankruptcy is Pastor David Langford. His website, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Before we bring him on, let me ask you, folks, do you have seeds in your bug out bag, in your prep bag, in your pantry? Do you? Texas Ready Seed Banks, they're ranked the highest in the world for good reason. Folks, I have Texas Ready Seed Bank. I've looked at this. In fact, I've talked to many people who are very satisfied customers. Quickly, Texas Ready .net. That's where you need to go, TexasReady.net. But I got to tell you something. This the product that they offer you, they can the seed banks contain regionally appropriate open pollinated heirloom seeds. Most seed banks don't take into account the geographic differences, but TexasReady.net does. Hybrid seeds are good for only one garden. They don't reproduce true to type. That's why it's necessary to purchase stable heirloom seeds. Texas Ready uses certified seeds. Never heard of that before. And most seed bank companies don't because they cost more. Well, they think their customers are worth it. And you know what, folks? We think you're worth it. This is part of our listener protection plan as far as I'm concerned. Folks, if you don't know how to garden, Texas Ready has several excellent reference books there as well. We've met the owner of Texas Ready, Lucinda Bailey. She's going to be on here sometime soon, hopefully. She's called the Seed Lady, and for good reason. She knows what she's talking about. And I can go on and on and on, and I will later. But, folks, TexasReady.net, that's all you need to know. This is the Cadillac of seed companies, Texas at Chevy prices. TexasReady.net. Do yourself a favor. Go there now, TexasReady.net. Now, Pastor David Langford is coming on every Wednesday. America's pastor, as far as I'm concerned, and the official pastor of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. So happy to have him on. Maybe he can make sense of this, I don't know, all of this confusion, chaos of the election season. What we're seeing, the headlines, so dire. Joe.
Pastor Langford, it's great to have you back on the Hagmann and Hagmann Report.
Great to be with both of my dear brethren tonight. I do want to say you had a tremendous apologist there on before me. Very few times I get to hear anyone, and especially agree with everything that the man said. I didn't find any fault in what he said about anything. And there are still a few old-fashioned spirit-filled ministers who do not compromise the word of God's truth. And as he well said, apostasy is very fluid in the church today. And I was thinking today about the elections this time next week. We could have a new president. I don't know what God will allow, what God will suffer. This thing could become so convoluted. There's no telling where we might be, and it's all for the purpose of anarchy. disruption, martial law. We'll just have to wait and see what unfolds. But Doug, as you well said, this is a morass of sin, iniquity, lying, confusing. And, you know, the last debate, the circumstances, the appeal that was made to me was very clear and very defined. When Donald Trump made the statement, he would try to overturn Roe v. Wade, because up to the ninth month, they'll still murder a baby. And she said, Hillary Clinton, she was all for women's health care. What a subtle disguise, portraying murder as a woman's health care. You know, it's amazing how they'll take two-thirds of the child from the mother's womb, stick the forceps in the back of the skull, murder it, suck the brains out, and pull it out, lay it on the table, and act as though this was some type of aborted fetus. But let the child be fully born, and then take a ball-peen hammer and smash its brains out, and everyone would gasp and say, my God, that's murder. Somebody wanted to define to me clearly, plainly, concisely the difference? There is none. And you're voting for life, you're voting for death. And, you know, I reckon one of the things that bothers me is the fact, you know, I don't know Donald Trump's depth of his purported Christianity. I know when he was at Liberty University and he said 2 Corinthians 3:17, somebody told him that, because it's, you know, anybody has any biblical depth would say 2 Corinthians 3:17. And he quoted that because the scripture says, the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's, of course, the name of Jerry Falwell, who's deceased now, his son. It's Liberty University. And so that's where they took that from, the scriptures. But I don't expect out of Donald Trump what I expect out of someone of my, how do I say this, my spiritual level of being a Christian and a minister for nearly 40 years. That's one of the things that bothers me when people attack you and Joe. You don't profess to be ministers, but people are so antagonistic and so unforgiving, and that's why the church has to be strong, because we're being attacked at every side, every turn. And when you gave the statistic, Doug, earlier, over 70% of people profess to be Christians. Can I tell you, me standing in my car garage does not make me a car. Just because I go stand in the bay of the garage does not make me a car. Just because people say they are Christians does not make them Christians. I heard a man just the other day, in one breath, said he was a Christian. GD came out of his breath the next sentence. So that's not the fruit of God's Spirit. That's the fruit of the devil. And just because someone says they are a Christian, you know, Matthew 7:21, the brother before me alluded to that in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Just because someone says they're a Christian, that doesn't mean anything to God. God looks at a man's heart. What's coming out of his heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And, you know, we're at a crossroads. Let's be honest. Let's be pragmatic. Next Tuesday is a crossroads for this nation. I believe it will either be the death knell, and we'll go on to full-blown apostasy. Christianity will be outlawed. Hillary Clinton has said publicly, our deep-rooted culture and Christian beliefs must be done away with. She's abashing people who are against abortion. She's bashing people who are against same-sex marriage. But if you go back and listen to all of them, they were at one time against all of these things, but they claim they have evolved. Well, I have evolved too into a deeper, more dedicated and consecrated walk in Christ. And my convictions are greater now than they were 10 years ago. I refuse to bow to Baal. I mean, we have a Muslim president in the White House, and here's the thing. The enemy has come along and he has sown his seeds. and he's going to go his way. And the damage, I believe, is irreparable. It does not negate the fact that God cannot send a revival. If you go back and read 2 Kings 22 and 23, when Josiah was raised up, God graciously granted him, because he repented, he made things right, he embraced the law, he had a Passover, the Bible said, like none other. But God told him, he said, Josiah, after you die, I was ready to judge Israel. I was ready to drop the hammer. But because of your faithfulness, and the Lord says something about Josiah that he doesn't say about any other king in Israel's history. And that's in 2 Kings 22:2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He did not go left, he did not go right, he stayed right in the middle. Of course, the problem with that is you get hit from both sides, the liberals and the ultra-conservatives who are religious fanatics. And then we have the other side, like the one denomination who met this summer at their General Assembly convention, and there were placards and billboards and signs, I'm a queer pastor, I'm a queer deacon. That's the apostate church. That's the false church. But they will tell you, I'm a Christian, but I'm a queer pastor, but I'm a Christian. So you can't reason with deception. You can't reason with deceit. You can only reason with the truth. Why did God say in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts? Well, number one, anyone can reason with truth. You can't reason with the lie. Number two, God is confident. If he can get you in his presence, he will change your mind and convince you that you are wrong and he is right. So when he used the prophet Isaiah to say, come, let us reason together, he's confident. You know, once he lays out the truth, which he possesses and holds all of it, once he lays it out, you will then understand. But as long as you don't know the truth, and that's the only thing that sets men free, and if you don't know the truth, then you can't get free from the bondage. And any time in any one of our lives that we have a problem, like my watch, my wristwatch is broken, I don't go to a garage mechanic. I go to a jeweler, and I say, can you fix my watch? Of course, I wear $29.95 Timex watches, and when they go, I just throw them away. Now, I've got two more in my top dresser drawer, and pull another one out, throw it on, because I'm not going to spend much money for a wristwatch. But the point is, you go to the person who is qualified to fix the wrong. And of course, there's no greater person to fix humanity than God, who is the creator and we're the creature. And if we would simply do that, we wouldn't be in this morass of sin that we're in. But regretfully, we have rejected God. Israel did not want theocracy. They did not want a theocratic government. They wanted a king. And God said, I'm going to give you your king, but he's going to wreak havoc in your life. And ever since then, mankind, whether we want to really believe it or not, every government in one form or another is tyrannical. Now, why do I say that? Because it was broken in the local news today, high school football coaches are making six-figured salaries. But the teachers get like $45,000 to maybe $50,000 salaries. Well, where does the money come for the teachers and the high school football coaches? Where does all this money come from? It comes from our property taxes and things of that nature. So when God told Samuel, he said, they've not rejected you, but they've rejected me. He then told them through a litany in 1 Samuel chapter 8, he went through a litany of things that a king would do to them. And that has continued on to this day. And that's because there is no godliness in our government anymore. And that's why it gets... They talk about the deficit. They talk about the debt. They talk about IOUs and the boxes of the Social Security. Why is all of this just continued to run rampant? It's because of rejecting God. The more we reject God, the more the devil fills the vacuum, the emptiness, the void, the vacuity. That's the problem with rejecting God. God can fill anything. David said, "My cup runneth over." You know, Isaiah 12:3, "Therefore with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation." John 7:38, "He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." There's no, you can't exhaust God's supply. But when you take God out of the picture, something's going to fill the void. And that's what's happening, brethren.
You know, Pastor, I need to ask you a question on this, because you did say all governments, to whatever extent, are tyrannical. I mean, I guess it's a relative or on a sliding scale, perhaps. But are all governments theocracies?
Are all governments theocracies?
Yes. And now they mean, yes, yes. And I'm asking that.
Well, the question is yes. That's yes and no, because it is God who establishes every government that's ever been. It was God who established the Egyptian government. If we go through the seven world empires, Egypt, Assyria, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Rome, that's the sixth one, and one is yet to come, the seventh. Now, we have smaller empires, of course, rulers and governments, but it is God that allows these to come to fruition. Psalms 75, 6 and 7 says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." It was no mistake from God. God's going to give America what America's supposed to get next week. Now, I don't look for the world to change things for the better. I look for the world to make things worse. I look for the church to make things better. He said, "You're the salt and you're the light." And so I still promote 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. I know people sometimes disagree with that, but he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my first face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayers that shall be made in this place." It's up to the church to make the difference. Now, having said that, God literally destroyed the Egyptian empire, but he saved his people. God destroyed the Babylonian Empire, but he saved his people and sent them home under the auspices of the Medo-Persian Empire, King Darius and Cyrus. So, God is the one that lets these things happen. Why did he raise up Egypt? Egypt housed, clothed, and fed over 400 years his people. He made them pay as he grew a nation. Yes, it was under slavery, but when it came time for their exodus, he said, "Well, before you leave, by the way, you're taking the gold and the silver and all the fine linen with you. This is reparations." See, but of course, they wasted it in the context of they all disobeyed God once they got out, and many wanted to go back to Egypt for the watermelons, the cucumbers, the leeks, and the onions and all of those fruits and vegetables. But the point is, God allows this to happen. Luke 1:33, God tells us, talking about Jesus Christ, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." God is into government. God is into kingdoms. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples, they asked Christ, they said, "When will you restore the kingdom unto Israel?" Acts 1 and 6. He said in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." So, you know, God is greatly into government. It just sadly, sad to say, but because of the way people live, they get the government they deserve. And so this is what's happened to America. You know, we've lost our godly governance because we don't want God in our government.
Amen. And we've brought this on ourselves. I mean, we look at where we're at today. Certainly, Donald Trump is not the most perfect candidate. You know, that's obviously, I mean, he's got his flaws. He's a man. I understand that. And it's interesting how we're watching Democratic National Socialists, the progressives, vilify Donald Trump in this case. And I apologize if I'm taking you off in the area that you don't want to go to, but, this is so topical because we're seeing him being pummeled by the progressive left. You know, he's, oh my goodness, you hear what he said 10 years ago. You hear him referencing, you know, females and his treatment of females and such. And we understand that. But,
hey, Doug, before I became a Christian, I talked a whole lot worse than that.
Roger that.
Here's the deal. That's what sinful and sinner men do. They talk. They're braggadocious. They're jocks. There's a term. About, you know, their masculinity. How about all these colleges coming out today wanting to do away with one's masculinity?
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man,
that's a real man talks junk. That's just the way it is. And I'm not a fool, and you're not either. But women talk their junk too. See, it works. Right. But center women talk the same stuff. You know, I can't say tonight on the air what Jennifer Flowers said that Bill Clinton told her personally about Hillary Clinton. But it was on the front page of Drudge Report a couple days back. I can't say what she said he said because it's too unbecoming. But I'll just say it was deals with lesbianism. I'll leave it at that. So she does it too. It's just we haven't got it, you know, recorded somewhere, but it's a fact. It's all these ball players. Who was the great basketball player that had HIV?
Joe, you know this one,
Magic Johnson.
There it is.
Yeah, Magic Johnson. Yeah. I mean, did you hear the stories of his whoredom and harlotry?
Yeah.
So why are we supposed to say because this man said this? Listen, I would not want Hillary Clinton babysitting my child, yet they will castigate him because of words. Now, words have significance. There's no doubt about it. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are, and it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. But deeds are far more powerful and terminal than just words. You can talk junk all day long. That doesn't mean you can do it, neither does it mean you can back it up. And that was just male egotism. That's just testosterone running his mouth, you know. But see, when he got off the bus, how diplomatic, how cordial. Say, turn the switch on, turn the switch off. I got to be right here now because now I'm in the public eye. See, so that is so hypocritical to witness these things. They would not dare want you to know all the things they have said behind doors. And of course, the media, that was saved as a salvo to use at a time they thought would happen. God is doing something. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but with this reopened investigation, these things taking place, you know, I've begged God, do not let the wicked reign over us any longer. Start taking these people down. And you know what? Trump says he's going to drain the swamp. We found out the other day, Paul Ryan. Why did he distance himself from Donald Trump? Because one of his in-laws may be an appointed Supreme Court justice if Hillary Clinton gets elected. I mean, they're all filthy. They're all filthy as hell itself. But they would never want you to know that, because that's why it's called politics.
Man, I'll tell you something. It's just an amazing, draining the swamp is exactly what we need. And Pastor, you know, this is such a, right now, people are seeing the headlines, and I don't mean to dominate the conversation here. People are looking at the headlines. They're seeing the news. They're getting hit left and right. All of this news just breaking every hour. It seems like we've got a new headline. We've got this. It's difficult to keep up. It's dizzying. It's it really takes you off center. But one thing, you know, that people I have not seen anyone really address this, and Pastor, you've addressed this before many times, and that's there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. We are in we are deep into spiritual problems. Everything from the self-emasculated college students that we saw that you referenced to the various comments by Jennifer Flowers about the former President Bill Clinton. All of these things are significant, at least to me, of spiritual bankruptcy, moral bankruptcy, the lack of character and integrity, the lack of gravitas, even to bring back a word from two, three elections ago. But we are glad that you're here with us on this program, just laying this all out. Folks, Pastor David Langford is our very special guest every Wednesday, the voice of evangelism. And folks, if you don't have his books, Book of Jude, Revelation 13 Revealed, please go to his website, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Grab a copy. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Back to this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We have Pastor David Langford on from thevoiceofevangelism.com, and he has a radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio, The Voice of Evangelism. Pastor, it's great to have you on, coming on each and every Wednesday in our third hour, and this is your time. I want to turn it over to you and let you talk about what you want to get into.
Well, thank you so very much. I want you guys to be involved too, but during the break, I looked up the word politician in the Collegiate Random House College Dictionary, and it has four definitions, and this is the fourth definition of a politician: a person who seeks advancement or power within an organization by dubious means. By dubious means. Well, that tells you pretty much where we are today. And you know, the election to me is very simple, as I said, according to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I said before you this day, life and death, choose you life that ye may live, and that your seed, which is symbolic of your children, that your seed may live as well. And the last debate, as I said, made it very adamant, very clear as to who to vote for versus death and life. And, Doug, that statistic you gave early on about 70% of the Christians, I don't see how a Christian can vote for same-sex marriage. I don't see how a Christian can vote for abortion. McCain, the vice president nominee, is an apostate when he said he could reconcile same-sex marriage according to Genesis 1 and 31. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, so Genesis 1, 31 simply says that after God had finished everything, he saw that it was good and said, it is good. But, you know, Cain lies in the sense we have no record of God putting two men together in holy wedlock as he did Adam and Eve. So he like most politicians, he perverted the word of God. Everything that we're witnessing, for the most part, is subterfuge. It's a veneer. It's a facade. Underneath, it's rot. It's ruin. It's decay. Hillary makes it clear, you know, the Supreme Court justices have it wrong on the Second Amendment. You know, everything that's being said right now is totally lambasting Christianity. The core of Christianity is being lambasted. And that should make it very easy for people. You know, we hate to even remotely talk about politics, but as I said, politics has always been in government and in the church. Now, sure, God has allowed it. God has allowed it. But that's because they did not want a theocratic government. When Israel, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when Israel told God, or Samuel, they didn't want theocracy. They wanted a king to rule over them. And it grieved the spirit of Samuel. And the Lord said unto Samuel, 1 Samuel 8 and 7, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, this is the only time. Now, listen to me, folks. This is the only time that we have recorded in scriptures, and he says it again in this same chapter, that God tells Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. Hearken unto the voice of the people. And you say, well, why does God say that? Because that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hear the voice of God. Because God saw their hearts. And God knew what they would do. And so Samuel goes through a litany, and I'll run through them very quickly here. See, Samuel says in verse 9, 1 Samuel 8, 9, now therefore hearken unto their voice, again God telling Samuel, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Again, hearken to their voice, but protest. That's what Martin Luther did. That's why we're called Protestants. He protested the Catholic Church and the Reformation. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. He said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. Well, let's look at that in the natural. He will take your sons. So now we have the ability to draft in the military and take sons away from homes. Verse 12, he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground. The word ear there in the Hebrew means he will set them to plow his soil and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Well, guess what? Our government extracts money from every one of us to make instruments of war. Instead of God fighting our battles, we say, we'll take care of it, God. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries. Confectionaries falls under the auspices of apothecaries, to be cooks, to be bakers, to make perfumes, colognes, ointments, things of that nature. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive gardens, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Eminent domain, folks. The government has the right to take your property. Well, the reason I'm sharing this is because they did not want theocracy. They wanted a king. God says, when you let somebody else rule you, they all men, regretfully, that are not Christians, rule ruthlessly and selfishly. That's how they rule. See, all these backdoor deals. Look at the profitable college, I forget the name of it now, gave Bill Clinton an $18 million gift. Something's wrong, because we don't want God in our lives. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. Listen. It's way beyond a tenth for the middle class people. It's 20-30%. It's taken from we, the public, and given to public servants. Where did the public servants come from? Government. Now, don't nobody misunderstand me. I thank God for every highway patrolman, state patrolman, every police officer. I thank God for the military. I thank God for those who have served. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm trying to get you to see beyond the veneer and see the reality of what God said would happen when you take me out of it. Because men don't know how to rule correctly without God. And so Samuel was told by God, now you tell them, this is what will happen once I get removed from the picture and I allow them to have a king, a president, whatever you want to term it. And so we witness this. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Well, there's so much injustices of what is taken from people, just like now with Obamacare. It fell under the auspices of the IRS. Why not the Food and Drug Administration? I mean, common sense says, what does health care have to do with the Internal Revenue Service? Nothing. But they did that because this is what tyranny does. They put it under the auspices where it gives them the most power and the most control of your life. See, that's why I wouldn't sign up. That's why I'm punished and penalized, because I won't fall under the auspices of Obamacare. So I suffer. I pay a tax. I pay a punitive tax on top of that. Why? Because I'm not going to let them do me this way. So I suffer unjustly. I haven't done anything to anyone, but I suffer. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. You don't comply, you don't do, they put you in prison. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. Folks, we're going to make an election next. We're going to choose a king next week. See, Solomon said there's nothing at all new under the sun. If you think Hillary Clinton is going to modify Obamacare and make it better, you are deceived. There's no way they're going to make this better. You know why? The young people aren't going to buy in. I got a 20-year-old, a 24-year-old, and a 27-year-old, and a 30-year-old. The younger three have not bought in. My other daughter, she works for a nursing home. But my other three fall under another auspices where they're being punished too. Because, hey, when I was 20 years old, I never needed any health care. So they're not going to submit to it. But because they don't submit to it, what will the king do? He will take it. He will take it whether you like it or not. And what's he going to do? He's going to give it to somebody that does nothing. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, Doug, go ahead.
No, there it is, exactly. You know, what this government has done, specifically the progressives, the communists, no other way to describe it, is the redistribution of wealth. But more importantly, I think, or equally important, is the fact that they have weaponized 20% of our economy, that being healthcare. They've weaponized this, and we as Christians are being forced, if you are part of the system, you are being forced to violate your faith, violate your conscience. If you want to be a part of the system, you've got to make a choice. So they've weaponized this, knowing, in my view anyway, knowing exactly what they're doing. And then what you're speaking to is, not only have they weaponized it, but the punishment end, they will make it so prohibitive for the average person out there that wants to play by the rules, not to have this, if things remain status quo, that they'll bankrupt you. And that's a weapon in and of itself. And this is all, I believe, a faith-based, or not faith, a weapon against one's faith at the very epicenter and core. It's the morality. It's the faith that they're after, at least in my view, Pastor. Thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. You know, and as he ended up saying, ye shall cry out in that day, because your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king. Now, you say, well, that's Old Testament. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, these people are unreasonable and wicked men. And the word men there is generic. It's mankind. It can be women. What scares me about Hillary is Isaiah 3:12, where Isaiah said children would oppress and women would rule. See, that's a prophecy about the last days. Look at how young people terrorize communities, whether they're black or white. They all do it. Children would oppress and women would rule. I'm not bashing any woman. That's not my point. My point is to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And then Paul said that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And I asked the Lord many years ago, I said, God, why in the scriptures is every government described as some type of a beast, a lion, a leopard, a bear, a ram, a goat? Why in the scriptures, when you define a government, you define it as a wild animal? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, because you cannot reason with a lion. You cannot reason with a leopard. They operate as totally instinctively and beastly. You can't walk up to a lion and pat him on the head like you can a dog. See? So that government, which is run by men, is unreasonable and wicked. See? And this is what we've come to. And, you know, we have no one to blame but ourselves. And to everyone out there that claims to be a Christian, this stuff about, well, it's gray. No, it's not. You're the one that makes it gray. You're the one that convolutes it. Is the previous speaker on your program said the apostate church. You have apostatized, which means you have left your post. You've left your post. You've left your foundation. You've left your place and posture and position of truth, and you've embraced something that's holy and totally ungodly. Just, I can't believe, like Tim McCain said, he's reconciled same-sex marriage, but he can't show me in the Bible where God put two men together. But he takes and he perverts one Bible verse. He perverts one Bible verse, Genesis 1:31. He takes that one verse and says that is reconciled same-sex marriage in his spirit and in his mind. Well, he's deceived. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That scripture, he said, reconciled same-sex marriage. Well, can anybody show me in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 where God ever put same-sex couples together? No, you can't. But you'll pull out a Bible verse, and that's something else that just blisters me. You know, he's not a preacher, he's not anointed, he's not called of God, and he thinks he has the right to interpret to me the Word of God. And I've spent 40 years doing this. You really want to get me upset? You got people out here who are nothing but wannabes, and that's the problem with Christianity, a lot of it. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you are a mature Christian, and you can rightly divide and discern the Word of God correctly. That's why Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? So I can teach you correctly. That's why we have true men of God. The problem is we got too many men of the devil, purveyors of lies, and then these buffoons that listen to them want to argue with me when I'm trying to tell them the truth and tell it straight. And they don't want to believe it. And they think, I know just as much as you do. I'm here to tell you, I don't say it arrogantly, but no, you don't know as much as I know. Just like if you are a carpenter, I don't know as much as you know. I'd be a fool to come in there and tell you how to make miter cuts. Because I don't know how to make miter cuts. I know they exist. I look at molding and I look at a coping saw and I see, but I can't do it. But this is everybody thinks they know everything. If you don't believe it, ask a politician. At least I'm humble enough to say, if I don't know something, I'll tell you, I don't know it. I don't have an answer because it's above my pay grade. But today in Christianity, you can be anything. Anything whatsoever, a sodomite, and be a Christian. Well, you can't, because the Word of God says you can't be these things. But that's where we've come to. And so, you know, I'm having people email me, leaving messages. Christians are attacking them because they're going to vote for Trump. Well, who are you going to vote for then? You're going to vote for a guy that doesn't even know where Aleppo is? You're going to vote for a man that has no... Did you know George Bush? Listen to this, folks. George Bush did not even know who Benjamin Netanyahu was when he was elected president.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't know him. He didn't know who he was. Yeah. You and I, Doug, Joe, we know more about what's going on in the world than our stinking leaders do. Donald Trump was not trying to be some bigoted self-righteous when he said, I know more about ISIS than the generals do. Why? Because they've all become a bunch of feminists and not military men, and they're letting our government's being destroyed.
Yes.
The lethality of our military. We can't do what we used to do. That's why my newsletter this month, November, was entitled, Is God Giving America a Second Chance? God is full of mercy. Lamentations 2 says his mercies are renewed every day. Every day, God, he don't wake up like we do, but every day we get up, there's new mercy every day. Every day. And I want that mercy because I need that mercy. Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope in his mercy. I hope in his mercy, folks. I'm hoping for a move of God. It wouldn't shock me if we had a landslide like in 1980 with Ronald Reagan. I believe, see, God's people are getting fed up. And when Israel said, and started crying out to God, he said, I got a man named Moses. I've heard my people's cries. I've seen their sorrows and their afflictions. I'm going to send somebody to deliver them. Doug, I said this some time ago. I probably made this statement 10 years ago. What if God sent the Russians over here or the Chinese to America, bombed the freak out of us, and said, we're letting you people go from your tyrannical government. Now you start over. Your government has gone around the world, blown up cities, tore down nations, Saddam Hussein, Libya, Muammar Gaddafi. We're going to do the same thing, and you guys are going to have a chance to start over. What if God did that?
Wow. Yeah, think about that, folks. Wow.
Yeah. Think about that for just a minute. It just came over here and bombed us to smithereens and then said, now we're done. Now you start over and organize you a goodly government and we're getting out of here because that's what America's done all over the world for years. Now we're going to leave and let y'all reestablish your government. God could do that if he so. I'm telling you, folks, he destroyed the Babylonian government. He replaced it with the Medo-Persian Empire, but he let his people go back home. Listen, God does not hate this nation. God hates the wicked and the leadership. Psalm 7:11 says God is angry with the wicked every day. God doesn't hate mankind. He hates the false balance. He hates the lying, the dishonesty, the duplicity. God hates it. He hates it. David said that God has the perfect hatred. Now, I can't understand that. But there's such a thing as the perfect hatred of God. God has that. I don't possess that. But God knows how to have and possess perfect hatred and it still be right. See, David Langford can't do that. You know, because I'm a human being.
Right.
But what if God were to do that, Doug?
Wow. There's a couple of different ways you can look at it, but certainly I can understand that. And just understanding that, I suppose, would give way to almost acceptance. And
I think it'd give us a better chance for survival than on the current course we're headed.
It would if you could take out Washington.
Yeah.
You say that. You say that's so ugly. Well, he did Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. He didn't destroy. God didn't destroy everybody. He just destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude, in his epistle, says, "And the cities about them." See.
Hmm. Wow, that's something to think about. And folks, because Pastor Langford's talking about this right now, I do urge everyone to go to thevoiceofevangelism.com. And specifically go to, at the bottom of the page, Pastor Langford has his newsletters. I believe they're in PDF files.
They are.
You can, okay.
Well, they're also, if you just click on, they'll come right up. They're posted.
Right, okay. So the November newsletter, the most current newsletter, talking about what you just said is God giving America a second chance. And read that, because in conjunction with what Pastor Langford just said here, it puts the election, the whole political process, I believe, in a very godly, interesting spiritual perspective. So that, I mean, wow, yes.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings if God took out Washington.
No.
I mean, somebody said, well, that's ugly. Listen, that's why it's so corrupt, because it stays the same. It stays the same. You know, I honestly believe, and I know our time is gone, godly or good people go up there, but they get corrupted, because you can't walk in a room of those people and not be bribed to some degree.
That's right.
Because they all hunker down, or they all cave in and say, well, I'm getting this from my congressional district, you know, because it's going to help my people. That's how they buy you and sell you, folks. They give you just enough, like a heroin addict, to keep you on the hook. You know, while you got money, you're paying for it.
And folks, that is the Clinton research investigation verified. That is the Clinton culture of criminal corruption. I mean, that's the Clinton Foundation. That's 30 years, three decades of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. We know what we're getting there with Hillary Clinton. It's all spelled out. And so I'll tell you, Pastor, I'm sure many people hearing you tonight are going to be in prayer between now and the day of election day.
Let's all take time between now and the election, and our time is gone, but get on our knees and say, God, deliver us from these wicked, unreasonable men. That's the word of God. I'm not making that up. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Look it up. Unreasonable and wicked men. God, deliver us from them, please.
That's our homework assignment, folks.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Langford. You are just a treasure for coming on, and every Wednesday on the Hagman Report. Thank you for sharing your time, and thank you for everything you do. Thanks for being our pastor, the official pastor of the Hagman Report.
A great joy to serve you guys and to serve with you guys. You guys have a wonderful night, and God bless everyone that's listening tonight.
God bless you. Thank you,
sir.
Have a good night.
That'll
good
do
night.
It for
you
us,
too.
Folks.
Bye.
Wow. Wow. Man, what a great... How great was that? And his newsletter, Joe, from November, Pastor Langford's newsletter from November, talks about Cyrus, and of course... that's relevant to a potential Trump presidency, the story of Cyrus, King Cyrus.
Mm. Well, some people believe it is, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could very well be. But perspective is what we need. And we got an email from someone saying, well, why are you talking about this when there's so many headlines? We do address the headlines. But there's an underlying problem, I believe, and an underlying problem is the spiritual bankruptcy of our country.
Yeah, there's a lot of breaking news stories, but it's not changing much of anything, except you see more of the lies and corruption exposed.
Right.
But where will it lead, I guess, is the most important question, or an important question. And will we see actual results from all the information we're receiving? all the information is worthless if nobody acts on it. And it's just a big distraction.
I got a feeling there will be action. There will be action.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but I hope
you're
right.
I don't know, man. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you so much for being part of our lives, extended family of listeners. Thank you for your support, your prayers, your letters. We read them all, your emails. We really appreciate each and every one of you.
Absolutely. Tomorrow, hour one, news and headlines. Hours two and three, Brandon House will be our guest. Until then, stay safe. Have a good night.
And check out Canada Free Press. Do comment on the article about the 90-second video, please.